Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti, going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Aaron Weber is our weekend headliner. Aaron's a guy who's I hear a lot about Aaron, and I started hearing a lot about Aaron in the last couple of months. And I looked on the calendar and it was like, oh, Aaron's coming to our club. That'll be fun. So we had a nice talk. Good dude. Good dude. Funny stuff to watch. As always, I'm always watching their stuff. I'm always checking out the social media and the specials and really enjoyed Aaron's stuff. We'll talk to Aaron a little bit here. It's a good time. But as you're hearing this, if it is Wednesday, July 15th, tonight at the Comedy Castle, Wednesday, July 15th, 2026, the Detroit to Austin Comedy Challenge, that's at 7:30 p.m. You can vote for who you want to move on. We've got some fun comics in the lineup. I'm looking at it now. Some of them I know, some of them I do not know, but you will also be seeing the MC skills of Mr. Steve Wodzinski. And our closer tonight is Cam Rowe, who I love. Both former students of mine, both really funny comics. And the lineups are really good, too. So come out for the Detroit to Austin Comedy Challenge. You can vote for who you want to move on. And then this weekend, of course, Aaron Weber starting on Thursday the 16th at 7:30 p.m. We got the Friday shows at 7:15 and 9:45 for you on the 17th. And then Saturday the 18th at 7 and 9:30 p.m. Aaron Weber. Aaron is a guy who is known for working on with Nate Bargatze on the Nate Land podcast. And also as an opening act, you'll hear us talk about playing arenas, opening for Nate. What's that like? You'll hear him talk about that. He'll tell you how he got started in comedy. He grew up in Montgomery, Alabama, but started his career in Nashville and tells us all about the Nashville comedy scene. What's it like to play at the Grand Ole Opry? He's going to tell you. That's a cool thing. That's a cool thing to do. And we'll talk about what he's hoping to get out of the Comedy Castle. His unusual social media, but I really enjoyed his social media, including his lawn mowing video and his MySpace page, which, again, you listen, you'll hear what this is all about. But Aaron was great. I was really glad we could talk. We did a little later in the week than I wanted to. There was some scheduling stuff, but you get it now, and you should know to come out. Look, when I'm at the Comedy Castle on a nightly basis, as I have been. Well, I haven't for the last couple weeks, so thanks to those who welcomed me back after being away for the weeks I was on medical, but I'm good. So, but anyway, people say they look at the wall, they look at the pictures of the people that were there, and they go, oh, when was this person there? When was this? How did I miss this? I should have known this person was coming. Well, listen, Aaron Weber's a guy that in a few years you might go, man, he played at the Comedy Castle? I just went and saw that guy at Little Caesars Arena or wherever. And then that might be what happens. Who knows? Because Nate Bargatze played for years and years at our club. Went from an unknown to a big star. But, yeah, Aaron's funny. You're going to like Aaron. I enjoyed talking to him. I hope you enjoy listening to him. And we'll catch up with you right after this. Here's Aaron Weber. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, is it a pleasure to talk to you for the first time? We've never met, but I'm really looking forward to this weekend with Aaron Weber. How you doing, Aaron?
I am excited to talk to you, man. I've never been to Royal Oak before.
Okay, yeah.
I'm excited to be at the club. It's one of those clubs, I'm sure you know this, that comics talk about in a really nice way, and it's one you look forward to finally getting to check out, so I'm pumped.
Yeah. Have you been to Detroit or the Detroit area in the past?
I have been to Detroit. I haven't spent a ton of time there. So this will be my first time kind of planting my feet and spending a whole weekend in the area.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll have a good time. We got nice crowds. It is a great club. It is a legendary club. I'm not afraid to say that. But
no, I think it's, I mean, look, there are a lot of great comedy clubs, but there are very few left that kind of have, you know, like a unique character to them. And from everything I've heard, the Comedy Castle is one of those places.
Yeah, it is. And it's going to be great to have you. You know, I was reading so much about you today, watching clips and stuff and having a good time. I want to let you know that this is the home of Carhartt. So
that's right.
Do with that what you will. I don't know if you want to blow all the money you're making this weekend at the Carhartt store downtown, but it is there for you.
Let's say I'm going to be wearing the Detroit uniform all weekend for sure.
It'll be great. I love that bit about the sizes. I can completely relate.
Thank you.
I can completely relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the Carhartt because I'm only an XL in Carhartt. It's the only brand on earth where I'm not a 2XL. And you just feel, you know, it gives you a little spring in your step when you leave the house. You're like, look at me. I'm cute, man. I'm an XL.
Yeah. I know. I'm up and down. I think I have shirts in 4 sizes in my closet.
There you go. You got something no matter how you wake up a little bloated, you're good to go.
That's it, man. And then you know, I was reading about you starting out. So Montgomery, Alabama is your hometown?
That's right. Born and raised Montgomery. I moved to Nashville, Tennessee when I was a junior in high school.
And I've
been there ever since.
Yeah, so you started stand up in Nashville.
Yes, I did. I did a little bit in college, but like, you know, it's not real. It's like fake. I always say I really started when I got back to Nashville after college and started going to the open mics there. And that was about 10 years ago now.
Okay. Well, geez, you know, in comedy terms, that's not even that long.
No, they say that you're, what's the old saying, that the amount of time you've been doing comedy, that's like your age. So I'm like I'm a 10-year-old person, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I'm a child. I'm still getting my feet wet out here.
Oh, listen, you're having a lot of success.
Well, I appreciate it.
I hear about you. I know you're doing a lot of stuff with Nate Bargatze, who is no stranger to us here at the Comedy Castle.
That's right. He speaks very favorably about the club. So that's
lovely.
I'm excited. I've known Nate for a while now. We did a podcast together for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. And occasionally I'll get to go open for him on the road doing slightly larger venues than the ones I'm doing. but he's been a good buddy of mine and he's, you know, he's a big deal in Nashville specifically.
I could imagine. I mean, he's a big deal kind of everywhere. And
the
comics like you and guys like Greg Warren that comes through our club, super funny guys. He's really doing a great job supporting his friends, the guys he started out with. And even newer comics, it's really amazing what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, everyone knows Nate is funny, but I want people to know just how generous he is with his time and also, you know, using the power that he has to help help guys like the me and Greg and others for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely become a, what do you call that? I don't know if it's an impresario, but you know, like he is not just in a business sense, but he's also a tastemaker. His fans can become your fans.
Word.
There you go. But you know, his fans will become fans of yours.
Hopefully I'll snag a few of them.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of those big arena shows with them, you know, and I'm looking around the arena and I look at one section of the arena and I go, God, if I could sell that. I go, that's a sold out club. That's a sold out club. I need to get one section of this arena and I'll be good.
Yeah. Now, how do you feel? Cause I did in my career, I've done exactly one NBA arena.
And this is one,
the Palace of Auburn Hills.
All right.
It is no longer the NBA arena in Detroit. But it was at the time.
It's legendary, though. As a sports fan, that's a legendary place to have performed.
The Malice at the Palace happened there.
That's right. But, it's the first thing I think of.
My show was almost as contentious. No, that's a joke. But I was, you know, I was there hosting. It wasn't a bit. But arena comedy is so strange for, you know,
it is.
I guess you must get used to doing it. Where are you at with that? Do you find it weird?
You know,
or
I haven't done enough to really feel like I'm used to it or that I'm super comfortable doing it. Nate does his shows in the round.
Oh, okay.
So the stage is in the center of the arena and you kind of have to rotate 360 degrees while you're performing. So that's a whole different ball game. It's not something you can really practice for at a comedy club either, right? So you're learning on the fly. The interesting thing about comedy in an arena that I learned is that a lot of the crowd is watching you on a jumbotron, right?
Okay.
They have these huge screens and there's a camera zoomed into your face. Now, what's nice about that is you can actually play smaller than you can even at a comedy club. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I did one of those shows, I like smiled at the end of a joke and it got a laugh. And I remember thinking, oh, they can see me smile.
Yeah, right.
And they can't, you know, a comedy club, maybe the first few rows can pick up on those facial expressions. At a theater, they're definitely not in the back, right?
Right, yeah.
So it's almost paradoxical. This huge room, you can actually play smaller in a lot of ways. It's fascinating.
Right. No, that is nice. And then I remember just being... like the spotlight is always weird because you can't see and you know, like some comics, especially like newer comics, they're like, well, let me just step out of the light so I can see the audience. And you can't get away from it when they got a follow spot on you.
Yeah, exactly. It's all those little things you have to be aware of while you're performing. You got to know where the cameras are and all that stuff. So Nate has gotten very good at it. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he's got the physicality dialed in, and there are guys that are just natural. I'm so used to, God, I want to have a wall or some kind of safety behind me.
Yeah.
And when you got nothing to lean back against or even a stool to put your hand on, you feel very vulnerable out there.
Oh man. Well, geez. It must be thrilling though. I'm sure that's great for you.
It's a special thing. It's definitely not lost on me. Mm-hmm. What kind of an insane thing, an insane run that he's on. And he's been very nice to bring guys like me along for it.
Yeah. So the Nashville scene now with Nate blowing up, there's a lot of comics from Nashville, you know, Jeff Allen's from that area, right? The Keith Alberstadt from there. Yeah, a bunch of guys that play.
Alberstadt, you know, he cut his teeth in New York City. He still lives there, but he's a Nashville guy.
Yeah.
He comes down here, you know, probably once a year. He's in the area.
Right.
Nashville comedy scene is really in a great spot. The club, Zany's Comedy Club here in Nashville, just opened up another room.
Okay.
So that was huge for the local scene. We've got all kinds of open mics and local showcases running constantly. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, a lot of comedians are moving here for comedy now. And I think even more important, some guys are sticking around. Mm. We have guys like Dusty Slay and a bunch of other guys kind of at that level or just below him that are like, hey, I can do this out of Nashville. I don't necessarily need to move to New York or LA. So that's been good for Nashville, man. And it's just the energy down here is fun. Like the green room hangs are fun. There's a good culture around it. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about how things are going down here.
That's terrific. And the clubs, when you're in a Nashville club, are people from out of town? Do you have like tourists? Cause you know, Nashville's become such a big destination for, you know, people, vacationers and bachelorette parties and all that stuff.
I think we're pretty lucky. We get just the right amount. It's not overrun with bachelorette parties. Yeah. A lot of that's dependent on the act, right? I don't think bachelorette parties necessarily coming and excited to see me at a show, for example. But it's in a good part of town where we're not getting like foot traffic off of Broadway or anything like that. They're really good comedy audiences, but Nashville is a city people want to come visit. So if people are in town and they look up and it's an act they want to check out, we get those people too.
Yeah. And speaking of Nashville, Grand Ole Opry, I see that on your resume there. I see it on your bio. Come on. That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
What was that like to do that for the first time?
Well, they've been very good to me. I performed there, I think over 20 times now since I started. And it's, you know, it's this legendary venue. It's the show that made country music famous. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. And it is true in a lot of ways. And, you know, every now and then they'll let a comedian kind of get in there and break up the monotony of musician after musician. So, it's been really cool, man. They do a great job of making you feel like you're special when you're there. I'm actually doing it next week, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Now, do you perform with musical acts or comedians or a little bit of both?
No, I mean, I'm hopefully giving the musicians a break, right? So they let the house band come off, and then I get to go out there and do, you know, a lot of it depends on, did the act before me go over their time or did they go under?
Yeah.
So in their minds, the comedian set is much more malleable than a musician. So they go, you go do however time we need to get back on schedule.
But you're between musical acts, though, right? That's the.
Yeah.
Yeah. OK.
Yes.
Yeah.
Between musical. I mean, I've had to follow, the Oak Ridge Boys. I've done it with Carrie Underwood. I remember I followed Lee Greenwood at the Grand Ole Opry on July 4th weekend. You want to talk about a hard spot to be in is the Grand Ole Opry singing Proud to Be an American. Yeah. And then I got to come up right after him. So it's baptism by fire for sure.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy, man. Lee Greenwood. That guy's something else, man. Love him. Certain people love him. I don't know. I got nothing against Lee Greenwood. I'd perform with Lee Greenwood. I'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. And then even the guys you haven't heard of, that's what the Opry's good about. There's a good mix of like young, cool acts and then like older guys that have been doing it forever. So it's fun to just kind of stand in the hallways and listen to everybody warming up, and you'll hear banjos playing outside your dressing room. It's a special place, man.
That sounds awesome, man. Oh, my goodness. And let's talk about a couple other, you know, just some of these bits that you did were so funny. The urgent care bit, that was great. I can relate to that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, do you use urgent care a lot?
I try not to, but it's like if the doctor's office is closed, I will go.
Right.
That's
well, if I don't have a primary, this is what people don't get is they go, you should go to your primary care physician. You're like, okay, well, what if I don't have one? And then I got to wait 7 or 8 months to go see a doctor.
Right, yeah.
I can go to an urgent care. I can pay $40. Yeah. Somebody, you know, can Google my symptoms in front of me and we'll figure it out together. That's what I like about it.
Now I'll take it a step worse than that. I've done the telehealth.
Oh, wow.
That's you web chatting. That's webcam medicine. That's
So you're just putting your rash up to your webcam.
Pretty much. And this is like a guy who, you know, the last guy I talked to, I don't even know where he was. Like, I mean, I don't think he was in his car, but it wasn't like he was in a doctor's office. You know what I mean?
That's right.
He could have been in a booth at Burger King or something. I'm not really sure where this guy was.
I wonder if that's a good gig for a doctor. If you go, you know, I'll do telehealth next week. I can just set up in my closet.
Yeah, do it from wherever you are.
Take some calls, dish out some meds. Yeah. It's not a bad gig.
They'll do that for you. That is a thing. That is nice, I guess, if you're saying, hey. Here's my pharmacy. Send something over. Crazy. The doctor from Subway sending this Z-Pack for you, Joel. All right, cool.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to love America. That's America right there.
That's right.
That's Lee Greenwood singing.
Perfect system. No problems. Yeah.
The Opry, put it all together, man. And I love your Tums thing, too. I take Tums every night before bed.
I'm a huge Tums fan, man. I have a bit about Tums and how it's just they've gotten so good. How I say it's borderline top five candy in the country right now.
Yeah,
it's just gotten so good. They're coming out with new flavors, and that bit actually led to Tums. Oh. I did a couple ads for them on social media, but even bigger than that, they sent me. I think what was supposed to be like a year supply of Tums, it did not last that long, but I got a box of just like 40 to 50 bottles of all different flavored Tums and stuff. So I was like, oh man, this is why you get into comedy, right? A lot of people get into it to speak truth to power or to, you know, say something, not me. I'm trying to get free Tums sent to my
house. Brand deals. That's the future right there.
Yeah.
That's it. You ever think about selling the Tums after the show? Would people want that?
That would be nice. They did send me a couple. They made like a custom label for me. So I have my own like signature flavor of Tums. I'll never open that. That's just sitting on my bookshelf in my office.
You can't sell
that. I mean, that's like a trophy right there. But I gave them out to friends and family. Everybody in my life has been well stocked on Tums for the last year, I'll tell you.
I got a couple more things. So I as I go through your social media, a couple things really hit me. So the lawn mowing bit that you did, Is that a bit? What was the you're mowing lawns?
Yeah, so that's a genre of social media videos that I really got into.
Really, guys mowing lawns.
These lawn mowing services, they will go to people's houses and go, I will cut your yard for free if you let me film it. And then they turn it into content, right?
Right.
And so I just became obsessed with those videos. And you know the way social media works. You watch one, you watch two, all of a sudden that's your entire feed. It was just people cutting lawns. So I made kind of a fake video where I'm cutting my own lawn, which I had to do anyway.
Okay.
And I go, what if I pretend I'm one of these guys and then plug my dates at the end? So that was a lot of fun.
Now, does the algorithm pick that up as a lawn mowing video? Does that go into like people who follow lawn influencers?
Man, I hope so. let's get it in the mix. I'm trying to get it out there, man. Hopefully some people see that. I don't know. I hope they don't come expecting just lawn mowing jokes. I do have more than that.
And then I also was on your MySpace today. I got a kick out of that.
Oh, thank you.
I got
thank
a kick
you, man.
Out of that. I'm that old.
My website is a, I built it from scratch. It's an homage to probably 2007, 2008 era MySpace page.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you mentioning it. It has probably been a bad business decision overall that I don't have a real website. I have a fake MySpace page. A lot of people don't get it. They go, I tried to go to your website. It's just MySpace. that is my website. So, you know what? That just you mentioning it, it's good for another year.
People have been
telling me to get rid of it, but I'm holding on to it.
You keep that. You keep that and you update it and you go like 2028 dates are here on my page now. And they're
what? Fewer and fewer people get it every year.
When you hit my age, you've seen all the social medias.
Right.
And that might be my favorite era, actually, MySpace.
Right around then, maybe I'll get a Zanga or a Friendster going, something like that.
put your new album on Napster, something like that.
Yeah, there that's right. Go. Pure Stripping. Volume, maybe. Get a little LimeWire. I'll do something.
Oh, my goodness, man. Well, listen, it's going to be a fun weekend, Comedy Castle.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Got five shows, Thursday through Saturday. Come on out and see Aaron, everybody. Right?
I'm pumped to be there, man. I'm bringing my buddy Jay Flake. He's another Nashville comedian. We're going to be there. It's our first time at the club for both of us, and we've heard nothing but good things, like I've said a million times. So we're excited to get up there and spend a little time in the greater Detroit area, mostly for those shows at the Comedy Castle. Thanks so much for talking to me, man.
It was great. And it's super hot. I know it's hot in Nashville. It's super hot here now. And we're getting wildfire smoke in the next day or so. Maybe that'll blow over before you get here.
So the perfect time for me to come up there.
Aaron, this was a treat, dude. I'll see you this weekend.
All right, you're the man. Thanks.
All right, man. Bye bye. Yeah, fun talk. That was nice. Knock that one out. Covered all the points quickly. Come see Aaron this weekend. Bring your Tums. He'll sign it for you. Wear your Carhartt. Yeah, he had some great stories in there. I really enjoyed that. I love that, the lawn mowing plugs. I like that a lot. And then the Grand Ole Opry, man, following Lee Greenwood. A lot of people hate Lee Greenwood. I don't blame Lee Greenwood. The fact that Trump and everybody loves that song. I mean, hey, it ain't his fault. I always say you can't choose your fans. It's the thing I tell my comedy students. You can't choose your fans. So anyway, come out, see Aaron. He's a blast. You're going to enjoy it. All right, guys, let's get out of here. A couple quick things before we go. We want to remind you about the comedy classes at the club at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Bill Bouchard has his stand-up 101 class starting all the time. So make sure to give the club a call at 248-542-9900. To find out when that is in my advanced comedy class. And I was working with those guys this week out at the New Way Bar. I had a nice time. Did that. We're coming up September 12th for our next session of that one. This is the only summer session that's currently going on, and we'll get you a new one in the fall. That's a lot of fun. Tam White has improv class starting up as well. So call the Comedy Castle for all of those things. Another thing is, hey, how about social media? How about a little follow for Comedy Castle Podcast? It's Comedy Castle Pod on Instagram or Comedy Castle Podcast on Facebook. Yeah, there you go. And of course, everything links to ComedyCastlePodcast.com, where you can get the full archive of shows. If you want to hear a show from, you know, 7-8 years ago that isn't on our feed that you might normally get, go over there. You can listen to them there. All right. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough to get you to the club. Detroit to Austin tonight, Wednesday, and Thursday through Saturday with Aaron Weber, who I think is going to be a big star. I think you guys should come out. Great weekend to come out. Beat the heat. Beat the smoke, as I mentioned. I don't know if there's how much smoke there's going to be, but there might be smoke. But there's going to be big laughs at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. I want to see you guys there. All right. Catch you next week, guys. Bye-bye.